This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good afternoon. You're now listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Roshan Kanesan. It is Tuesday, January 31st, and I'm in the studio with...
me, Richard Bradbury.
Rich, it's January 31st.
I know.
31 days have passed in 2023.
I don't know where it's gone. I don't know where it's gone.
How,
and
sir?
It's like it's happened so quickly.
Tomorrow is February 1st.
I know.
We enter the second month of 2023.
I know.
If anyone else is feeling any existential dread about this, you can always get in touch with us and share your feelings.
Or just general anxiety like we are.
You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or always, we're always on Twitter at BFM Radio. So today on Biz Bytes, we're kicking off the show with a look at the tech job market in 2023.
Yeah, according to Crunchbase, more than 58,000 workers over in the US based tech companies have been laid off in mass job cuts so far in 2023. That's in the last 31 days.
Oh, wow.
Now, many layoffs from large tech giants were software engineers, according to workforce data startup Revelio Labs. But it is important to note that these cuts followed an earlier season of talent hoarding at these companies. With that said, while we've been hearing a lot about tech layoffs in the US recently, what's the situation been like here in Malaysia in the tech sector?
You know, Rich, that's a great question, because oftentimes we get a bit taken up by all the news coming out of the US and think that it kind of represents what's going on across the globe, but that may not always be the case. So to explore this topic in more detail, we're speaking with Fahad Naim, Country Director at Randstad Malaysia, who recently looked into this very topic. Fahad, thank you so much for joining us. So following up from what Rich and I were talking about, considering all the news we've been hearing of about layoffs in the US tech, it might be easy or fair to say that the job market will become more competitive for employees this year. Mm-hmm. Now, Randstad in a recent report noted that you expect to see 3-20% salary adjustments to internal structures for people, for companies to, in order to retain talent. With all this news flow, are you still expecting this to be so?
Yes. Let me give you some context around this. I think there's first a lot of discussion about recession, and you said it right, as about tech companies laying off in US and the world economy, the trend of recession, all this start from US. And then because of digital media, it just becomes a sentiment for a lot of organization. But if you look at from the bigger perspective, US tech market is big. But if you look at US population itself, it's 300 million population, 150 million as a workforce. Tech makes up about 19% of S&P 500. And with this couple of big companies, you know, naming Amazon, Google, Netflix, recently laying off about 50,000-60,000 employees. And if you look at from the bigger perspective, it's only make up 3% of total US economy, the all tech companies. So I think the numbers are insignificant for us to be very in concern about the recession at this point of time, based on just a couple of big tech companies, just because they're big name and people are quite familiar with Google, Amazon, Netflix. So the news has spread very fast, and it has more of, I would say, sentiment of things are changing. And that's how people start taking precautions of, well, do we need to hire? Do we need to stop hire? And what sort of salary increment will we look into? So to answer your question, 3 to 20% of salary increment, which is still pretty reasonable, and because the tech market is still remains in demand, is still highly shortage of talent, and companies are willing to spend that much money to hire a individual from different company.
Yeah, and that report also noted that the recession could benefit Malaysia's labour market, as companies will be moving their business units and headcount from Europe to Southeast Asian countries. How confident is Randstad in this? And are you already seeing this happen here in Malaysia?
This has been the trend for many years. But I think as inflations keep increasing in Western part of the world, we see more and more companies are interested to look for a cheaper solution. And, when we start looking at countries within APAC itself, there are a lot of options out there, but I think Malaysia still remains one of the very attractive places to set up manufacturing plants, shared services, data centers, IT development hub. And we see the trend has been picking up a lot. Malaysia government has done a great job in attracting these different industry to come to Malaysia and providing all the facilities to make sure that they find this place as one of the best in Southeast Asia. We do see the Malaysia is still going to be a prime growth in manufacturing automation 4.0, 5G, human capital development, and even a lot of companies are looking at setting up their R&D development centers in Malaysia too. So I don't see that there's going to be any slowdown in that trend of European companies or American companies picking Malaysia as one of the attractive locations.
Okay, but let's be honest. We do face quite stiff competition for talent from our neighbours in the region, just over the causeway there, of course, Singapore. How can Malaysia address this challenge effectively, do you think?
Well, this is one of the questions we get a lot from a lot of companies. And, you know, how do we keep this talent here to stick around in Malaysia? There's already a shortage of talent in especially niche specializations and vertical. As I mentioned about 4.0, 5G, these talents are in demand, not just in Malaysia, but globally. And it is very common for the new generation to be get attracted with the higher salary overseas, and there are many options out there. I see the trend in Malaysia is salaries are becoming more and more competitive. Still, definitely, there are more countries offering better packages, better benefit. And there are a lot more famous big brand names, which young generation get quite attracted to work for them. But we have to still think of what are the best way of making sure that Malaysia becomes pretty much a balanced place for a decent salary, work-life balance, and people have a long career, big brand name, MNC exposure, all of it. So I think it has to be more of a package. You can't compete with just one benefit. Is it a salary? Is it a big brand name or a better working culture in a specific country? So somewhat a lot of companies are addressing it. Salary skills are increasing, but this challenge will remain there for sure as the market is still very competitive in some specialization and industry.
Fahd, I want to follow up on that point about looking at non-salary components, right? Looking at the whole package when it comes to enticing employees to retain them or to acquire them. Flexible work has become such a common expectation here in Malaysia in some parts of the working sectors. But with economic pressures incoming, do you expect to see this change as companies look to prioritize productivity and efficiency?
Well, there will be some change in expectation. I think when we talk about employees' expectation, this is going to be there. I think more and more people are very comfortable in this hybrid working model. So if I give you some stats in this 2023 work report, that 33% of respondents said they wouldn't accept offer if they did not provide, a company did not provide flexibility. And 64% wouldn't accept the job offer if they were thought it would be negatively impacting on their work-life balance. So I can see from the employee perspective, the demand is already there. People are very used to or comfortable doing the way how they have been doing it after pandemic. Now, on the other side, there are employers who are thinking and hoping that as you know, pandemic sentiment is fading away, everybody's coming back, everything is coming back to normal. Some companies do think that they should be able to bring their employees back full in the office and get a better productivity. But there are pros and cons that I think there are downside of working in a hybrid environment too, which is a lot of companies have struggled maintaining the culture what it used to be before pandemic. There's a less of belongings with the company if they don't have a social circle within the organization. Learning experience could be very challenging for someone who has no industry experience, first time they started working in this industry. So they have a bit of a challenge in learning and adopting things online. So the process is slow. So these are some downside, I think, which is somehow companies are still navigating, learning how to have a balance of both, you know, if they were to bring it into the office or working remotely. Expectations are there, but both sides somewhat, I think companies and employees will learn to manage in the longer run. We're looking forward to see what this 2023 is going to bring it there, because the whole pandemic situation and the sentiment has faded away.
Let's just talk very briefly then about flexible work and how it does require a particular type of management. Can you give us any insights for employers as to how they can effectively manage flexible or hybrid work?
No, the first thing is, number one thing is having a better learning experience, right? Either it's e-learning program or either arranging more online sessions for managers or leadership team to interact with your employees so they have more interaction with them. Companies need to find different ways to recognize people performance, whether it's monthly award sessions or you have a weekly discussions about KPI, who's doing well, who's not doing well. End of the day is a lot more about the engagement. So I think one of the biggest missing piece in this hybrid working environment is the culture. It's very hard for companies to now define what the culture looks like for the company. It could be very different from one team to another in the same organization itself. So what I would suggest for the organizations that from the top level, there has to be some discipline, some process, some structure in keeping people together and finding different ways to bring them all together to enjoy, celebrate different thing. That's the only way to keep things going and keeping everybody to be feeling a part of the organization.
Well, that's a really, really important point, right? When it comes to flexible working environments, it's really important to keep the culture going because it can be easy to feel disconnected from your colleagues and your workmates.
Well, it means I don't get to see you running around pretending you have a lightsaber and things, you know, by the water cooler or whatever it is.
I have no idea what you're saying. But,
of course.
But is flexible working a deal breaker for you when it comes to the job market? Let us know what you think over on WhatsApp at 018-789-8899 or over on Twitter at BFM Radio. Fahd, we'll be coming back to you in just a few minutes and asking the all-important question of whether layoffs in global tech represent an opportunity for Malaysian businesses. Keep it here to Enterprise Biz Bytes to find out.
Balanced Frank Medium, BFM 89.9.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Roshan Kanisan, joined in the studio by Richard Bradbury. And today on the show, we're continuing our discussion on the tech job market in 2023 with Fahad Naeem, Country Director at Randstad Malaysia. Fahad, thank you so much for your patience staying with us on the line. So Randstad notes that the going back to the report, right? So you guys note that the tech sector records some of the highest pay increments in Malaysia, which it notes as unsustainable in the long run, and particularly so for early stage startups that are in dire need of talent. This is not a new story. This is something that has been, I think, brought up quite a few times. So following up on an earlier point we were talking about the global tech layoffs that we're seeing, does that represent an opportunity for not just Malaysian, but Southeast Asian companies to moderate this trend of high pay, high wages for tech talent and hire much sought after tech talent?
Well, the very interesting question, and tech companies are wondering how do we really keep up the expectation, as you know, tech demand is not going to go slow anytime soon. We are still at the very beginning stage of digitalization. We are seeing the digitalization within the tech companies first. Slowly, gradually, it's happening into all the other industries too. And this digitalization process is not going to slow down. It's just going to keep increasing. And now that creates even further more shortage of talent. And we have been seeing this for the last many years. I don't think so any country has a solution or any country is doing better than the other country. It's a global problem. Now, when it comes to supply and demand, of course, a lot of countries are investing a lot on fresh graduates, internees to train on those specific niche vertical to fill up the gap. What we need to learn from this layoffs is not that because we are discussing about attrition, especially in tech industry, I don't think so it's going to happen anytime soon. But in out of desperation, a lot of companies have hired employees at a very high cost just to make sure they can fill up the gap. And that trend just went on from last few years. And you saw that tech companies were paying much higher salary what they used to pay 4 or 5 years ago. When the demand become more, I would say, balanced, then the companies will be having a difficult time in getting the expensive overheads. And that's when they need to learn how are they going to manage the future employee, once they're going to bring it on board. And then you have the bunch of people you've hired in the last couple of years on a very high salary. So that's going to become the challenge, but demand is going to be there. And I think tech expectations from the employees hasn't gone down at all. And they still expect that they are still underpaid in Southeast Asia.
Let's talk a little bit about how the report talks about the fact that employers with smaller hiring budgets will need to be more creative to stay competitive in a talent short recruitment market. Can you give us any tactical suggestions here for these employers?
Tech high salaries, it's just the bare minimum expectation, right? And big companies, they have brand name, they have higher salary, they have more process and structure in place. So it's easy for them to attract. But when it comes to smaller companies, a startup, when they don't have higher budget, the best thing they can do, they can try to create a better work experience for individual who come and join them. So when I say a better work experience, it could be a working culture, a better technology learning platform, or a better way of onboarding them. I would say maybe they can work around with more attractive hybrid work environment. A lot of small firms, those they kind of offer higher salaries, they become very creative in terms of how they offer the benefits. So the family care leaves, the marriage leave. Even I heard of one of the startup in US, they used to offer something called heartbreak leave, which is it sounds funny, but you know, there are different ways of how they want to make it more attractive for people to come and work with them.
Rich, heartbreak leave, that's a new one.
I'd be off work every week.
So, Fahad, thank you for giving us a lay of the land of like what is going on with the tech job market. But let's look at tech trends for a second, right? And what jobs we could be expecting. What are you expecting the in-demand IT jobs to be like in 2023?
The trend has been upward toward a couple of major sectors within tech. You know, we talk about AI, 5G, 4.0, blockchain. So in last couple of years, we have seen a huge demand in some of those space in cybersecurity, software development, data scientists, data engineers, IoT, which I see that this is still, we are at the very beginning stage of deploying and developing all these systems to make sure that we keep up with the demand in technology transformation. And I see that this is going to be a further in 2023, much more high demand for all these different job titles, software engineers, data scientists, AI, cloud engineers. Cybersecurity is also one of the really big booming market now because data protection is becoming a big concern as everything is online, is on cloud now.
Now, we do know that 5G is a big thing and we've been speaking about it for the last few years, despite whether or not it's rolling out all over the country or not. The report does show, though, that that 5G will drive hiring, potentially creating an estimated 39,000 value-add jobs. Could you tell us a little bit more about this and what these value-add jobs could look like?
So when you say value-add jobs, we are looking at 5G is not just within telecom, but 5G is going to be an enabler to so many other industry in digitalization journey. So, you know, as I mentioned, blockchain, which is pretty much decentralized in network, which does require a very high-tech 5G internet in order to be available around the world across to transfer data. We have 4.0 automation, manufacturing, healthcare industry. All these industries will be using 5G as an enabler for their digitalization and automation. So the jobs not just going to come from telco, but all the other different industry sectors as well. Now, if I were to look further narrow down, I think 5G is going to enable jobs within AR, artificial intelligence, further push the journey of IoT, connecting more devices to collect the data and to enhance and improve the efficiency of technology automation. It is going to help with the cybersecurity, network planning and design, further better use of devices for test engineers. And in many other ways, I think it's more of an enabler for many industries to push their digital transformation journey. And that will create eventually more jobs in different industries.
So Fahad, many terms said there, but of course, the one that caught my attention is artificial intelligence. Because when we talk about tech trends, there's one that has been the talk of the town for the last few weeks at minimum, OpenAI's ChatGPT. Some think it will take their jobs, other feels it's going to enhance theirs. What are your thoughts on ChatGPT's potential impact to the workforce?
Well, as much as it's really fun to watch what ChatGPT can bring, but as a scary at the same time too, I think ChatGPT has surprised many people, and it keeps surprising what this machine learning is capable to do. No one has a real clarity of what the future is going to look like, but we can already see there are so many jobs will be taken over by AI, and I think. There has been a lot of automation. AI is just one of it. AI is just one of the technology that is coming in to make our life much more easier. Human being will find different ways to make sure that they become a part of this development of AI. So I think the jobs eventually are going to change. I think AI industry itself will create enough job to cover up the one which we are going to be losing because of AI. That's what I think. But I think future will tell us what exactly we are going to get into with this whole new world of artificial intelligence and machine learning.
Mm. Okay, so Fahad, just before we wrap up this segment and we let you go, let's wrap up with the final question. What other tech trends do you think we should be keeping an eye on here in 2023?
Well, I'll summarize with this five different industry, which I think is going to be really big and booming in the next couple of years. Number one is definitely IoT, Internet of Things. As we become more tech savvy and all industries going for digitalizations, we need different devices to be connected using 5G to make sure that we collect more data. There's more analysis to have more efficiency in producing more automation in the industry itself. Second, I would say, I think we are very familiar and we are talking a lot in Asia about EV vehicles. So autonomous vehicles, Malaysia is one of the very attractive places. It's a key location for EV assembly in Southeast Asia. So I can see that there's going to be a big boom. Number three, we have all heard and seen the boom from blockchain in the last 3-4 years. Not just the cryptocurrencies, but I think there's so much more happening in blockchain industry, which is, we call it Web 3.0. We are talking about digital identity. We're talking about supply chain transformation, financial services, you know, all this digital currency at the back end, changing the system within financial services. Number four, huge investment in by some of the big enterprise, including Facebook, in virtual reality and augmented reality. And I think that's going to change the future as well, how we interact with digital stuff, you know. And I see the immediate adoptions will happen in AR and VR in gaming, education, and training industry. But slowly, gradually, I think healthcare, manufacturing, retail, and many other industries are looking into it. Last but not least, I think we have touched base on this one, is artificial intelligence. ChatGPT is just a start. And I can only see that this is just the very, very beginning. Healthcare, finance, retail, every single industry will have some use of AI at some point. And we are just exploring what this AI industry will bring in the future for us. But this is going to be huge in the next couple of years.
Fahad, thank you so much for your time today. That was Fahad Naeem, Country Director at Randstad Malaysia. Before we wrap up the segment, though, Rich, anything in particular that caught your attention? We talked about a lot of things there.
Yeah, yeah.
The five sectors there, IoT, EV, blockchain, VR and AR and AI. Anything you're particularly looking forward
things.
To?
Obviously, AI is a big thing for me. Something that I could talk about all day, but EV in particular is something that a lot of people really seem to think is going to happen and hit Malaysia very hard and in a positive way. We're seeing things happen up north in Thailand with the development of more infrastructure out there that's slowly coming down this way through Vietnam and a few other places. The problem is we just do not have the infrastructure yet. And we need companies to get on board with this and to help build that infrastructure before people will start adoption in mass. And that's not happening anytime soon. And the problem is the cost of the vehicles. Even though they're tax-free vehicles, they're still super expensive, and you can't make them available to people like me and you just yet. Mm-hmm. Never mind the mass market. That's the problem.
It's so coincidental that we talk about EVs because this morning on The Breakfast Grill, The Morning Run spoke with Volvo Car Malaysia, and the title of the podcast is Can Volvo Go Fully Electric by 2030? Interesting topic. If you want to catch that, that's happening again after the 1 p.m. news bulletin. But don't go anywhere because up next, we're going to be taking a look at live selling as a way to boost your business in 2023. Keep it here to Enterprise Biz Bytes to find out how.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.